Good morning to each one. We are glad you are with us this morning for our Sunday morning worship service here at Central. Always good to get together. These are special times when we're able to gather. And so we welcome you, all those in the auditorium, and also all those who are streaming us online. When we come together, of course, our main goal is the worship of God, to praise Him for the great God that He is, to give thanks for the way He has blessed us in every way. And so we do those things, but also we're built up in the faith by coming together, by joining with each other in singing and praying, sharing the Lord's Supper, giving of our means, hearing the word of God proclaimed from the pulpit. Each one of these things strengthen us and make us better Christians. So we get a real benefit from coming, and we never want to miss these opportunities. We're glad for the presence of each one. Hope you will participate actively in our worship this morning and get all the good out of it that you can. Now let's praise God.
The first hymn is number 308.
In vain and fine and holy days.
Next hymn is number 67.
Thank you.
Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing 991, This Is My Father's World. Go to our Father in prayer.
Let's bow and pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in adoration, lifting your name up along with Christians all over the world this morning. As the sun rose, Father, we know that there are faithful brothers and sisters all over the world singing your praises, studying your word, going to you in prayer. And we unite with these brothers and sisters all over the world to lift you up this morning, to lift you up today on your day. Father, we are so humbled by your presence here with us this morning. You are the creator of all things. You are the creator of us. You hold life in your hand, and you found us worthy enough to be called your children, worthy enough to be worthy of the blood of your Son. And we are grateful, and we're thankful, and we come here to praise you for all the things that you are so worthy of. There are so many times that, in spite of all these things that you've done, that we fall so short of being worthy of called your children. We get distracted, we get confused, we get frustrated with the world that we live in, and we allow temptation to creep in, and we act like children, but not your children. And we're so grateful that the blood of Jesus is enough for us, that your Son was the sacrifice for us. We're so sorry that you had to give your Son for us, but we're so glad that you did, because we can have that relationship with you. We can have that hope that wakes us up every morning to know that there is a place that's so much greater than this place that we live in now. We're so thankful for your church. For your church here at Central in Johnson City, for the leadership, for the work that has gone into it over the years, for the legacy of strong workers here at Central who have given and devoted so much time and so much effort, for workers that aren't even here among us anymore, that have made this congregation what it is today. Father, we're so thankful for the establishment of the church because you really made this congregation what it is today. We're so thankful for the body, for the family that we can lean on. And we're so thankful that while this congregation here is so strong and so faithful and so loving, we know that there are so many others all across the world. We know that we have brothers and sisters all over the world right now that are not just loving us, but praying for us, even if they don't even know our names. And we pray for them, and we pray that the church be stronger all over the world. And we pray for those Christians in places where worship isn't as easy as it is here in the United States, here in Johnson City, where maybe it's not as comfortable as we have it in this beautiful building. We pray for them, and we pray for all Christians to stand up and to be bold and courageous and to boldly take your name to people who need it so badly. Father, we ask that you help us to be hard workers, in the kingdom, to not shy away from hard work. Father, we appreciate and the work of so many people, and we ask that you make us workers. Sometimes it's enough for us to be here, to be present in the worship. Father, we want you to challenge us to work in your kingdom, to sweat in your kingdom, to labor in your kingdom, to agonize in prayer, to wrestle in prayer for people that we love and for things that we need, for things that your church needs to do, to agonize in prayer to help us be better workers and better children of yours. Help us to be strong workers, to be hard workers. Father, we ask that you be with so many in our congregation right now that are facing tests, that are sick, that are traveling, that have lost loved ones. We do agonize in prayer for those. We pray for those of our number who aren't with us anymore because they've let cares of the world creep into their life. Father, help us to reach out to them. There's so many that we're here and are not anymore, and we miss them, and we're not as strong as we were without them. Help us know the right things to say. Sometimes it's hard to be able to talk to someone who's fallen away. Help us find the right things to say to let them know that we love them, that you love them. Help us agonize and struggle in prayer over the lost. Father, we are here this morning to lift up your name and to worship you. Father, as we sing these songs, as we study your word, help us to do so in a manner that's pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you're using the hymnal this morning, you may wish to mark number 919. We will sing this hymn as a means of encouragement this morning following the lesson. And before the scripture reading and the lesson, let's stand and sing 448, The Greatest Commands.
Love. Thank you. As you can see, we're going to be reading from Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 25. So if you want to turn there, that is fine. If you just want to listen to it read, that is also fine. In the verses preceding the ones we're going to read, Paul talks and contrasts two items, the items of the flesh and the items of the spirit, the desires of the flesh and the actions of the spirit. And he contrasts those things that are fleshly desires as against law. And that is pertinent to what he talks about in 22 through 25. So, Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh together with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
We tend to take so much for granted. This morning, somebody told me about how their water went off last night. And we were saying, boy, we just take for granted that water is going to be there when you turn on the spigot. And then when it's not, we realize, boy, life could really be hard. And I think singing God is love is another of those examples. We take that for granted. But what if God wasn't love? What if we didn't have a creator who taught us what love is and how to love one another? This would be a very dark world indeed. And yet God is love. God gave his son so that we might learn to love. And what a blessing that is, and what great motivation to worship God in spirit and in truth on the Lord's day. And that's why we're here together, to worship God, to lift up one another, to show that love to each other as we prepare to go out into the world and show that love to others. And so we are happy you are here. Many are here with us in the building this morning. Others are with us still online, and we're glad you have chosen to join us as well. But we're just glad. Last week was a great time for homecoming, and yet we realize several still are not yet able to get out and be with us. And we want you to come whenever you are ready. And we hope that will be soon, because what a difference it makes to be together in person. And we're just so thankful that we are now able to do that. And we'll never again take for granted the assembly of Christians together on the Lord's Day. But again, we're glad you're with us today. We have visitors with us today. We're thankful that you are here with us today. If we can be of help to you in any way, please let us know. And we'll do everything we can to help. And we'd love for you to come back and join us anytime you can. And this evening at 6 o'clock, Lord willing, we're going to get together again to worship God. And we're going to worship outside. Don't know how many more times we'll be able to do this. Maybe not many, because it's getting dark earlier and getting cooler. But we know we've got this evening, and we'd love for you to come out and join us for that. Bring your own chair or grab one from the downstairs fellowship area if you need to. Bring a blanket to throw on the ground. I do suggest bringing a sweater or a jacket this evening. But it's going to be a beautiful day, and it will be a beautiful evening as we worship God together outside in his cathedral. So really hope you'll join us for that. And all of you watching, maybe you could come out for that and be with us in that way. But whatever, let's get into the Word of God now and see some things that will help us live a better life the way God wants us to live it. I have been a gardener in the past. I don't do it now, but I remember in February, we'd start getting those catalogs in the mail, catalogs for seed. And the catalogs don't really show you seed, they show you the vegetables that you're going to grow if you buy the seed that they're selling. And I would spend hours, I would just dream of these great crops that I would grow, and sometimes it actually happened that way. But then you order the seed and you say, wait a minute, I ordered squash. This is just little brown things. What's that gonna do? Well, of course, that's the seed. And when you plant that in the ground, God has given it the power to sprout, to grow, and to bear the vegetables or the fruit that it is going to bear. And that is the amazing thing about what God has done with tiny seeds. Well, in Galatians 5, that was just read for us, that Steve read for us there, we learn about the fruit of the Spirit. And let's look again at Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, and just drool in your mind over how marvelous this looks. I mean, how great would it be if that were present in my life or in your life? Paul says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Well, of course not. Why would anybody be against those things? And so as we look at that, we say, well, that would be great if I could have those things in my life, but you know, I can't. But you know, the good thing is that every Christian has a green thumb. Every Christian can grow these fruits. And in fact, it's not really us that's growing it. It's the Spirit, he says. The fruit of the Spirit is all of this. And so the question is, will I go to the trouble of planting it? Will I try to cultivate it in my life? And if I do, then God will be true to his promise. These things will develop. This morning, I'd like for us to focus on one of those fruits of the Spirit, and that is joy. We don't talk a lot about joy, but I want to talk about it this morning, and I want to use a comparison that I think may help you to grasp why it is so important. I'm going to call it a superfood. A superfood for Christians. So let's look at that idea and think about what would happen in my life if I were to cultivate joy more than I presently do. So let's begin by talking about joy as a superfood for Christians. Now, you probably are familiar with the term superfood. It is a term that has become trendy, I guess, in the last several years, and it means there are certain foods that are just really, really good for us. It may not be something that we would normally pick out, but maybe we should do better at that. I found one site, for example, that gave this list of foods that you would call superfoods. Dark leafy greens. That's always what we go for, isn't it? Kale especially. Berries, green tea, eggs, legumes, nuts and seeds, salmon, avocado, and on it goes. And there's reasons for each of these to be listed as a superfood. But the idea is they will promote better health. They will help your body guard against various illnesses, perhaps, or strengthen you against various things. And so if you eat these foods, you're going to be stronger and healthier. That's the idea. Well, is there a superfood for Christians? I want to begin by going to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. And this is a fellow that we know a lot about. His name is Elijah. Elijah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, maybe the greatest of all. But here he's on the run. He has had that confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And now the wicked queen has said, you're going to be dead this time tomorrow. Jezebel threatens him, and even a great prophet is subject to fear, and he takes off running. Well, he finds himself in a cave, and now an angel of the Lord comes and appears to him. And it says this in 1 Kings 19:7 and 8, The angel of the Lord came again a second time. He had already come and said, you need to get up and eat and drink. There was some water, a cake of some sort. He came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. By eating that food and drinking that drink, he was able to go for 40 days. I would call that superfood, wouldn't you? And if I could buy that, would you not buy that? I mean, wow, it would keep me going for that long. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, this offer is not available in any stores. You ever heard that phrase before? And I'm not about to make a pitch. We're not saying there's actual physical food. In that case, it was. But I find a parallel in the New Testament, and that is joy. Now, why would I say that? Why would I say that joy is a superfood? Well, look at some examples of how it enables people to do more than they might otherwise. We'll begin in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, and then we're talking now about Jesus Christ. Here the passage says in Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Did joy help Jesus? According to that, absolutely. You remember how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there be any other way, Father, let this cup pass from me. Then why did he go through with it? Because the joy was there, the joy of knowing that it will lift the burden of sin. It will forgive people of their sins if they so choose to go that way. And this is the only way. And that was a joy to Jesus. And so he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Take away that joy. Would Jesus have done it? I don't know. But I do know that is listed as a reason why Jesus went the distance. And then look at another example found in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. And this is where the apostles have been brought before the Sanhedrin a second time. They've already been threatened. Peter and John have been threatened earlier. Don't ever preach and teach in the name of Jesus again. And yet there they are doing it the very next day. And so now the Sanhedrin is very angry, and they bring them in again. And here's what we find in Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. When they had called in the apostles, they beat them. They beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, we're not told specifically how they were beaten. I expect it was with rods. And it had to have been painful. It was meant to be painful. It was meant to be a threat that would say, in effect, you better never do this again, or you'll get this and maybe even worse. And so now they've told them, don't ever speak in the name of Jesus again. You're free to go. And so they went and cowered in their dark places and never again spoke of Jesus. That's not what the Bible says. It says in verse 41, then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And the word rejoicing has at its core the idea of joy. Now, how can you be joyful after getting a beating? If it is for the cause of Jesus Christ, they said, we'll gladly accept it. And they did accept it time and time and time again as their ministries went on. And again, I'm saying that joy gave them the ability to go further than they would have otherwise. It gave them the ability to endure what they would not have otherwise. Joy made a great difference in their lives. And then James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and this involves us. I mean, we looked at Jesus, we looked at the apostles, now let's look at ourselves. Because again, joy is a motivation. James says this in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, trials are not something we enjoy. By definition, it means this is a burden. It's something I don't want to go through. And my faith is being tested. Will I give it up and say it's not worth it? Some do. But James says the way to get through this is to count it all joy when you have those trials come into your life. Why would I be joyful? Look at the effect it can have. It can make you stronger. It can make you steadfast. You're not going to give up when the difficulties of life come. And so again, you see, the idea is, if I look at the outcome, that I can be stronger for having gone through these trials, then I can count it all joy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go through this, because I know you will lead me to a stronger place as a result. And so the idea is that joy is a superfood. If we indulge in it, if we nurture it in our lives, we're going to be able to endure a whole lot more than we would without it. In fact, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 really states the point very explicitly. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, this is when many of the people of Judah had finally come back to their homeland after 70 years of exile. And many of them are just overwhelmed. It's a lot of work ahead of us. Got a lot of work to get our homes built back. But listen to this advice that was given them in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to the Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Is that no longer true? Oh, I think it is. I think absolutely it is still true. And if we would work more to develop that joy in our lives, we would be able to face whatever comes our way, knowing that God is with us, and we will be better for having gone through it. But that brings up the question, how do we get it? How does that superfood come? If it's not available in any stores, then how do I get that joy that will make such a difference in my Christian walk? Let me suggest three ideas briefly, all of them from God's Word. And number one, we need to begin with this one. Joy is centered on Christ. Joy is centered on Christ. I think of the night that Jesus arrived as a person, born on earth. And we know that scene very well, found in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Here there were shepherds out in the field, and all of a sudden angels appeared in the sky. And here's the message that one of them gave to them, Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel said to these shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Well, there have been a lot of babies born on earth, and it does bring joy to a lot of people, but this seems of a greater magnitude. So what is this all about? Verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Oh, they've been looking for the Christ for centuries. They knew somebody was going to come and be their Savior. And the angel says, this is it. This night, this is good news of great joy. And that's the arrival of Jesus on earth. But it's not just the fact that he arrived. That's not all that brings the joy that Jesus can give us. I think also of what he said in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. And this is where the real joy comes, is when we allow him to teach us, and we follow his teachings. Here's what he said in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, You will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Would you like to have full joy? I mean, not just now and then, but at any time in your life, whether things are going well or not. Jesus says, obey my commandments, because my intent is for you to have my joy and for you to have it fully. So it all begins with Christ. If we're looking for that superfood in our lives, we have to start with Jesus Christ. And if you try anywhere else, it's going to end in failure. I mean, we might have happiness, we might have pleasure now and then, but joy that abides, it has to begin with Christ. And have you noticed that in 2022, we have been putting a lot of emphasis on Jesus? I mean, that's been the theme of our first Sunday of the month sermons. That's been the subject of many of the classes that we've had throughout the year. And we want to know Jesus. We want to see him more clearly than ever before, because this is where our joy comes from. So it all begins with Jesus. But let's look at, secondly, another way that we obtain this joy, and that is that joy is based on our salvation. Joy is based on our salvation. And what that means is that we've committed our lives to Jesus Christ. We have said, we're going to follow you. We're going to reap the benefits of following you, which involve forgiveness. But it also involves serving and worshiping and all that Jesus commands us to do. I think of what David said in Psalm 51 and verse 12. You remember that penitential psalm? He was so overwhelmed with sorrow at what he had done with Bathsheba and having her husband put to death. And he prays in Psalm 51 and verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And there may be some this morning that can identify with that. Not that you've killed someone or had an affair necessarily, but you know you've wandered away from God. And you can say with David, I would love to have that joy back again. Well, you can. And do what David did. Go back to the Father and pour out your heart and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. I need the joy of your salvation. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, this is shown as what the Lord wants us to have. Early in the chapter, Jesus quoted Isaiah 61 early verses when he began his ministry. So we know this is a lot of what it's about. But listen to verse 10. We don't often look at this verse. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. Well, why? He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. In other words, I have been saved, and look at the white robes the Lord has put on me. I'll rejoice in that, because he has bestowed upon me the garments of salvation. And that is reason to rejoice, knowing that you've been saved and forgiven and your destiny is all bright and wonderful. We see that played out in Acts chapter 8, verse 39. Here is an official from the queen's court in Ethiopia. And he's been traveling and reading the scroll of Isaiah. He doesn't get what it means in Isaiah 53. Philip is told to go join himself to the chariot, and he begins preaching Jesus. And they come to a body of water. The eunuch says, well, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And they both went down into the water. He baptized him. Acts 8, verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. Why? Because he'd been forgiven of sin. He was now a child of God. Everything good and wonderful was now his because he had obeyed the Lord's gospel. And again, that's what we're saying about us. If we're looking for joy, we need to make sure that according to the word of God, we are saved. Don't take my word for what it takes. Don't take anybody's word for what it takes. Go to the word of God and find out what does the Lord say. And you too will go on your way rejoicing. But let's look at number three. And that is that joy is based on anticipated blessings. Joy is based on anticipated blessings. And another word you might put there is promises. That's what it means. I anticipate something wonderful in the future. Well, why would I think that? Because promises have been made. And I know the Lord is faithful. And so I'm going to set my hope on those. And I will be joyful in the here and now, even though here and now may not be ideal, but I'll be joyful because I know what is ahead. Look at Matthew 25, verse 21. This is what I want to hear one day, and I suspect you do as well. This is in the midst of the parable of the talents. And after the two servants have come back to the master and have shown, we used those talents, here's twice as much as you gave us. Here was his reply in Matthew 25, 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Enter into the joy of your master. And to think that one day I will stand before the Lord, and not because of my merits, but because of what he has done for me and the fact that I've been faithful in following him, he will say to me, "Well done, enter into my joy." I can endure anything if my hope is really set on that. And then also think about what John says in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And he begins that section by saying, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has shown unto us." I mean, can you believe it? He was saying in effect. But now listen to what he says in verses 2 and 3. "Beloved, we are God's children now." We are God's children. "And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in himself, in him, purifies himself as he is pure." Now the word joy is not there in that section, but that's what it's all about. We will see him as he is, and we will become like him, and we just don't imagine how good it's going to be. But when I meditate on that, joy fills my heart, and I'm determined more than ever. Every time I meditate on that idea, I'm going to get there, because what a day that will be. In fact, Jim Hill wrote those words in 1955. "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be." Do you feel the joy? I mean, we're not there yet, of course not. But can you feel the joy of what it's going to be like when we step onto those golden streets and we know, I'm home. This is my home throughout eternity. Most will say they can rejoice when things are going well. When my bills are paid, my health is good, the gas tank is filled, food is on the table, we can say, yeah, we're going to rejoice. It's going to be a good day. But what about those times when it's not quite so ideal? Let's close by looking at a passage in the Old Testament, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And this passage amazes me because it can't get much worse than what the prophet here is describing. I mean, listen. It can't get much worse than this. Though the fig tree should not blossom. Well, what does that mean? There won't be any figs. And that was a staple in that day and time. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food. Oh man, this is getting serious. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And so Habakkuk said, even though life is just about as bad as it can get physically, inside, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to take joy in the God of my salvation. And that's something that any of us can say. Any of us can choose joy. You have to choose it. If you just go with the flow of the world, you're not going to find it. But if you fall in line with the Lord and truly become his follower, you're going to find and learn true joy. And let me say, one of the simplest ways to begin cultivating that joy is when somebody asks you how you're doing, you're going to say, I'm blessed. Because every time I say it, I know I'm saying the right thing. I'm saying the truth. I am blessed regardless of how I feel or how much debt I have or whatever the problem may be. I'm blessed. And you are as well. You're blessed to have this opportunity. If you're not a child of God today, you have this moment to say, I want to become a child of God. I want to respond to that invitation of the Lord to obey the gospel. Just like the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. You've heard the word of God. You know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I hope. And if you do, are you willing to turn from your sin and repent of it? Are you willing to confess him before others? And today, be buried in water, be baptized to wash away your sins. You'll come out of that grave in newness of life. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Or has the world allured you more than the Lord? Are you walking more in step with the world than in step with the Spirit? You need to repent. You need to ask for the Lord's forgiveness, and he will forgive if you'll repent. And if you'll come right now, we'll pray with you. Won't you come as we stand together and sing?
You.
Seth has asked for our prayers this morning, saying that he sometimes worries and then he gets over that and sometimes it comes again. And he'd like to be able to just put these things to rest. I think Seth is learning that he's human, that we all struggle with waves of emotion. Sometimes we know what the facts are, we think clearly, and then other times our feelings take hold and pull us down. And he wants prayers, and we're going to pray for him. Also going to pray for his accepting the fact that a friend of his died in his sleep. And we want to remember that as well. I also I noticed this morning Bob Patton's daughter, Elaine, is with us. And I know she has worked with a program. I don't think she's working with them now. But it's aimed at raising awareness about human trafficking. And that is a very real problem, much larger than most of us realize. And I think I'd like for all of us to make that a prayer item today and maybe throughout the week. Elaine can give you more information about how to get involved if you'd like. But there are people probably right here in Johnson City that are being held against their will and hard to imagine. But let's pray for God's help to open our eyes and help us do what we can. Let's bow and go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. You are so great, so wonderful. And Father, you are loving and merciful. And to be able to sing, God is love. Father, how thankful we are that you are love. We know the world has conditioned us to not be people of love. But day by day, we're learning to overcome that and to become more like you. So please help us, Father, to reflect your image more than we have in the past. Father, thank you for Seth and his sensitivity to the things going on in his life. We pray that you'll bless him, Lord, with greater strength to overcome times of worry, a greater awareness of your strength and your help, and help him as he mourns the loss of a friend. And Father, we just take a moment and we want to reflect on millions of people in this world who don't have the freedom we do. They may live in a free land, but they've been made slaves. And Father, it just amazes us that this can exist in this day and time, and yet it does. Father, please bless those who are working diligently to bring about their freedom. But help us to have our eyes opened that there is suffering all around. And whatever we're able to do, Father, help us to do that. Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. We know your power is great. We pray it will be upon us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing How Deep the Father's Love.
How deep. Thank you.
Go ahead and prepare our communion cups, please. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47. And I'll be reading from the King James. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We celebrate the good news. This is the best news the world will ever receive. Join me in prayer for the bread. Our Father and our God, as we come before you just now, we are once again reminded of what's been done on our behalf. We know, dear God, that we were undeserving, and that looking through this Christ, this Messiah, your Savior, that somehow, dear God, through miraculous love, we can find acceptance in your sight with our faults, dear God, and with our failures. We're thankful for this opportunity to once again be reminded of what's been done. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen. There's a big difference in the cross that's behind us that you can see in the cross that was remains when Christ was removed. And that's the blood. When that body was removed from that cross, the blood remains. And it's that blood which brings remission of sins. And it is that blood that we wish to remember as we continue in this part of our worship. Pray with me, please. Father and God, we're reminded of the blood that washes away sin, that can make even the most stained garments whiter than snow, and how your servant, Christ, offered this blood willingly. Help us to never neglect the blessings that have been bestowed upon us and opportunities to serve. This prayer we pray unto you in Christ's name. Amen. Give thanks for the offering. The God, along with the many spiritual blessings of life you bestowed upon us, we also recognize the physical blessings that you bestowed, talents, abilities, opportunities, and a land, dear God, where we can truly pursue a career, where we can work and provide for the household of faith and for our own. pray, dear God, your blessings upon these gifts and upon these givers. We pray, dear God, for your blessings and the proper distribution of these funds, that much good will be accomplished and your name glorified, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, our prayer is that you have been elevated and exalted in this worship service, and all that has been said and done here this morning has been pleasing to you. We ask that you be with us on our walk each and every day. Help us to remain faithful, keeping our eyes focused on Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. I want to share a few things with you before we get away. As Tim mentioned, the worship this evening will be 6 o'clock, and it will be outdoors. Bring your own chairs or blankets, you're welcome to worship inside your vehicle. Songs will be sent out this afternoon by email. The Digging Deep Women's Bible Study will meet next Sunday, October 16. If you would like to adopt an ETSU student for this school year, please contact Tim Haywood. Attention all veterans, Josh Johnson would like to have a picture of you in uniform from your time in the service. Please give, mail, or email him a picture at joshjohnson@gracemind.org. Original photos will be scanned and then returned to you. The Dorcas group will meet in the downstairs classroom Wednesday at 1 p.m. All persons interested are welcome to attend the meetings on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month, or work at home. Call Sheila Frakes for more information. The October retired men's breakfast has been moved back a week. It will now meet on Tuesday, October 18. All retired men are invited to join us. Also be aware, a special contribution is underway to send relief to those in Florida who are suffering from Hurricane Ian's heavy impact. You can do that by check, by noting on the check the purpose, or in our online giving sites to check on hurricane relief there as you make your gift. Let's remember these in prayer. Samuel W. was in a motorcycle accident last night in Nashville. He suffered a broken arm and a leg. Surgery may be needed. His mother, Letitia, asked for prayers. Betty J., that's the mother of Jacqueline E., underwent hip replacement surgery on Friday after falling and breaking her hip the day before. Craig H., that's the brother of Ann B., is suffering difficult complications from extensive radiation treatments for his cancer. He is meeting with specialists for help. Let's keep Craig in our prayers. And Fred S. has sent this note following June's passing last Sunday morning. My family and I want to express our sincere gratitude for the many prayers offered up on June's behalf and the many cards and gifts given during her extended illness. Your kindness will always be remembered and cherished. As we leave, I want to share with you Jude verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great God, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. We are dismissed.